or if you have a Bible, you can follow along with me. Thank you. I love it. So one of the things that I have learned, so I'm going to just claim this. 10 years ago, 10 years ago this week actually, I got saved at Cornerstone Milwaukee when Pastor Michael was preaching. It was my second time at Cornerstone and just complete life change, obviously, as I'm here, right? But it was a great, it was like an instant whole worldview shift. And it was really great. I really relate to Paul in the Bible because Paul grew up knowing a lot of stuff and being really passionate about his faith. And then he had a big moment with Jesus and used all of what he knew before to completely change the way that he was preached. And that's kind of what happened to me. And I grew up Catholic and I was like a really good Catholic. I did all of the Catholic-y things. I was the altar girl, I was the Eucharistic minister, I was a lector, I went on all of the mission trips, I did all of the good Catholic-y things, and I loved it, and that's just what I thought you had to do. And then, so I had all of the background knowledge, and so when I became saved, I knew all of the Bible stories, and it was a really great, amazing place to start, so I was able to just jump in and go. So, that being said, if you go on my next slide, John 6:60, I read earlier this week. Ooh, that's going to be harder to read than I thought. So I'll read it out loud for you too. So Jesus is talking to his disciples about some stuff, and his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And a whole bunch of them decided to leave. And they were like, "This is too much for us. I'm going to have to say no. Peace out. Bye." They thought it was hard because the Lord does a lot of happy promises, right? There are a lot of really good things that we'll talk about, but he also challenges you to do hard things, right? Okay, so here's where participation comes in handy. What are some hard things that the Lord asks us to do?
Forgive.
Yes.
To wait.
Ooh, yep. Mm-hmm.
To answer a church,
yes. I like it. Yeah?
Love our enemies.
Love our enemies, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Go somewhere new. Good. In this passage, right before this, the Lord was talking to the disciples about how they had to give up everything and they had to be willing to die. And they were like, "No, I'm going to go." He's like, "You have to be willing to take up your cross and die for me." And they said, "Nope, I'm out. Bye." Right? Not many of you, when you first were believers, would probably have said, "Yeah, I'll be tortured and die for you, Lord. That sounds great." It's like, probably not. But that is in the list of things, right, that he asks to be willing to do those things. Hopefully none of that will happen to you ever. But a few verses later, Simon Peter on the next slide says, Jesus, there's a few of them that are still there. And Jesus is like, "Oh, you guys are still here." And Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." We all love Peter because Peter says some crazy stuff sometimes and did some crazy, weird things. Like cutting off a dude's ear, right? It was weird. But he always did it with passion and because he wanted to follow the Lord really as well as he could. But in this case, I think Peter said exactly the right thing, right? And this is what I hope that you guys all feel in your heart, that even when the Lord challenges you, that you are willing to just go there and follow him because where else would you go? He is the one that has eternal life. And he is the Holy One of God, and who else is there to follow, right? So, I don't know about you, but there are some awesome promises in the Word, right? Yep. There are some really great, amazing things. Can you go to my next slide? This one of my favorites is in Ephesians 3:20. If you don't have this one memorized, I would recommend it. It's great. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. Right? Now, have you ever tried to out-imagine God? Like, right? It's pretty great. Immeasurably, but before I, okay, so I'm going to dig into this in a minute, but I want to give you context because I'm a teacher. I like context for things and not just picking out one verse because I think that it takes away from some of the impact, right? So go to my next slide. I'll read this for you because it's a couple of verses. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Okay, so first, who wrote the book of Ephesians?
Paul.
Okay, and Paul was writing to his Ephesians. Sometime you should read Ephesians 1 and 2 and just hear all of the amazing things about who you are in Christ, about being adopted and chosen and how you have a purpose and a calling. That's who you are in Christ. If you're ever doubting that, read Ephesians 1 and 2. It's amazing and will just, that's how you should see yourself. So after Paul speaks about who you are in Christ and who you are in God and who you're called to be and how God sees you, then he says this prayer for the Ephesians. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Right? That is what comes before this great promise. It's this idea that you are strengthened first, that you are established in who you are in Christ, that you are rooted in love and know that you are loved, and that you know the power that you have because the Holy Spirit lives in you because you are a child of God. Right? He's not saying that you're out on, that he's just going to give you whatever you want because he loves you. God does give you things because he loves you, but it's way more than that. Because if God just gave you what you wanted the minute you became a Christian, you would waste it, right? You would turn away from God and go to all the things that you thought, and you wouldn't be ready for it. And the Lord wants us to be ready for the blessings he has for us so we can use them well, right? Because that's for our good. So he says, we have power with the Lord's holy people, and he talks about grasping the depth, the height, the length, and the width of the love of God. That's way more important than any of the blessings, right? In your quiet time today, just talk to the Lord and just ask him to show you how much he loves you. And then just sit and wait for a minute. Like, you can't imagine the overwhelmingness of how much he loves you, right? Just read through some of those verses. If you haven't done that in a while, like, that should be part of your habit. Just, that's where your strength comes from, is the love of the Lord. And he loves you more than any person ever could, right? And he loves you more than you could ever even love yourself, right? So know that and just be rooted in that, all right? And then, next slide, we'll go back to Ephesians. So after that, then Paul says, okay, now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, all right? So now here's where I'm going to make you participate. All right? Do you guys have... You can do this in your head, but I promise it's more powerful for you if you have something to write down on. There's going to be a minute of silence, which might feel uncomfortable for you. It's okay. The Lord works in silence. But I'm going to shut up for a minute. And in that minute, I want you to think about one area of your life where you really want to see growth. And I want you to try to out-imagine God and to think of where you want that thing to go. We only have a minute, so just pick one area. You guys have it in your head, what you're thinking? All right, and 1 minute of quiet, go. I'm going to pull it back. Some of you probably felt super uncomfortable in a minute. You are so much more quiet than any of my classes ever have been. You're such a good youth group. Way to go, guys. They can never be that silent. That was good. All right. Now, sometime when you have time, like actually develop a bit what you want from the Lord. Some of us might have been thinking about a person that maybe is having a hard time that you really want to be saved or really want to come out of the struggle, healing for something crazy or an amazing job opportunity or a spouse or kids or something you want for your kids. There are all sorts of things that we want. I hope yours wasn't like, I want a giant house, Lord, and a really cool car. The Lord's going to make you humble before he lets that happen. But I hope that you want big things. A big house and a cool car are not bad. It's just not the best God has for you. Now, God, some of you, I know I used to be like this. Some of you have a hard time imagining good things. So if I said, have a minute and write good things, yours might have been pretty attainable already, but it might be really hard for you to think big. God will do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So strengthen your imagination and try to challenge God, because God wants to show up, and when you pray, God will do the big, hard things for you. But you have to ask him for it. Because God's not going to give you breakthrough in something if you're not willing to at least ask, right? You have to acknowledge that you need it, even if that starting place is, God, I'm having a hard time even believing you for small things. Help me with that. He will help you by showing up until you can get to the big things, and then he will show up in the big things because we have a really, really, really immeasurably big God. But the other really great part about this verse that I think often gets overlooked is that the end of it says, according to his power that is at work within us. That means God is not going to drop things in front of your feet without you having to work for it and without preparing you for it. God uses you and me. He uses his children and his people because he loves us and wants to include us in his work. He doesn't do things on his own. He works together with us. It helps us get ownership. It helps us to know the power that we have to move. He loves us and wants to include us, right? We're not just sitting here, like sitting back, like, all right, God, I prayed. You said you'd show up. Do it. He doesn't quite work that way. He will work within us and make those things happen and help you to do those, but you can't sit back and do nothing. You have to be willing to do the hard things and be like Simon Peter, who said, all right, like I will do the hard thing because where else would I go? Right. You are the one that I love. To whom else would I turn? Yeah, no. Right? Okay. And there's one more part of that. You can go to the next slide. Psalm 37 is kind of long, so I'm not going to read you the whole thing. We're going to highlight one verse, but again, I really like context. So I'm going to tell you the context of verse 37, okay? Or Psalm 37, sorry. Psalm 37 is written by someone, probably David, but I didn't actually check that, so I might be wrong, it's all about balancing worry and promise. So over and over it talks about, oh, don't worry that the wicked are being prosperous. Don't worry about the people who are doing bad things, but it seems like they have everything together, because that will fade and that will be destroyed, but the righteous are the ones that will last forever, right? And that just is... Every few verses is that idea is repeated in a new way. And so you can all relate. I mean, you see people around you who are getting the good jobs and who seem like they have their life all together, who have the big house and the fancy car and, you know, have all of the things that post on Instagram or Facebook, right? You're like, but you're life, like you're living a crazy life. How do you have all of these things and I'm sitting here and I have nothing, right? But this psalm is there to remind you, like, those things that they have, like, will fade away and they won't last long and they do not bring eternal happiness. But the Lord builds us up over time, because it will stay and it will last for eternity, right? So some of those things in that psalm, that he talks about, he talks about the people who trust and who hope in the Lord, that we should do good, that we should commit your way to the, commit your way to the Lord, right? Do what the Lord says, that we should be still and wait. That's a hard one for me. I'm a doer. I don't like that one, but I have to do it. To refrain from anger, to give generously, and to delight yourself in the Lord. And he says that good things will come to the people who do those things, to the righteous people who do those things. That those are our, that's our starting place, right? And then we have this verse in the beginning, and it's kind of repeated later on in the psalm. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, or take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And again, he's not going to drop things at your feet, but he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, feedback time. What does it mean, do you think, to delight yourself in the Lord? Okay, to enjoy time with him. Good. No, that's good. I like it.
You love to be around him. You love to be with him.
Hmm. Good. You love to be with him. I know this makes some of you uncomfortable. I see some of you switching black, doing the teacher thing, like, please don't look at me. All right. Yeah.
Find peace and joy in the Lord.
Yeah.
To admire the things he created around us.
Good. Admire things created around us. Awesome. Delighting yourself in the Lord can look like a ton of different things, right? Delight is like joy and enjoyment, right? You should smile when you think about it. All right, so I'm going to have you take 30 seconds. This time it's not going to be silent. You're going to have a buddy. And I want you, I'm going to give you think time first. I want you in your head right now to think about something that makes you delight in the Lord. Now, if you aren't smiling when you're thinking about it, I don't believe you. So think about something that makes you enjoy the Lord, whether that's your time with him or worship or whatever it is. And then I want you to tell a neighbor, but wait 10 seconds to get something in your head. All right, most of you are smiling, so I think you got it. Turn to a neighbor and tell them what makes you delight in the Lord. You have one behind you. Yeah? All right, bring it back to me in 3, 2. One. Perks being a teacher. I have all those tricks. Awesome. See, most of you are smiling now. That's so much better. All right. I hope you found a new way to delight yourself in the Lord. I find that you can, that I find the most delight in the Lord when he just has little things that reminds me of how much he loves me, and you can just pause in the day and just be like, oh yeah, thank you. Right? I love those things. And again, delighting yourself in the Lord, that's like a constant daily process. There are times when it is not easy to do, and there are times when it's like the easiest thing in the world. But constantly, just remind yourself to do that. And the other thing about this verse is that it says it's the desires of your heart. And the desires of your heart are not things that you want for a moment. They're not like when you go to the store and you walk down the candy aisle and you say, I want all of these things, right? It's not, right? That's fun. Do that. That's great. Eat all of the candy. I love it. I did that with my niece. But it's not the same as a desire of your heart, right? That is like an instant, for a moment, want. The desires of your heart are those things that when you think about, your heart just like burns. Either it makes you really excited, or maybe it's like a lot of pain because it's a hard thing. And it's a thing that you want to change so badly it hurts when you think about it, right? That can be a desire of your heart. That's like when Paul talks about how the thought of his people hurting makes him cry and makes him cry out in anguish. That's the desire of his heart, was to see his people saved, his Jewish people, and they were saying no and rejecting it, so he went to the Gentiles, but it made him break down into tears because he wanted it so badly, right? When you are following after the Lord and you are talking to him on a regular basis, God will align your desires to be what he wants for your life. And he will take away the desires that are not from him, and he will and give you something better. And he will make you want what he wants, and then he will give them to you, right? It's a process. And it just keeps getting better the longer you do it, right? So part of my story over the last 9 years, you can go to the next slide. So it's my 9-year anniversary, and I'm actually at my parents' house where I store all my stuff, while I'm in Thailand, so I found all my old journals. I'm missing one. I can't find my very first one, which makes me a little sad, but I started reading all of these. And I haven't read all of them, but that's 9 years worth of my life, right there. Lots of interesting things that I didn't remember I argued with God about. that I remember. Or, like, lots of things that I wanted that I did not get, that I am very happy I did not get now. But one of the things that I was reading about, just that I noticed, was just the way the Lord changed my heart to want to do what I'm now doing. I did not start out my Christian walk wanting to be missionary. I did not. I wanted to stay living in Milwaukee. I wanted to marry a farmer and have a bunch of babies and, like, homeschool my kids. Like, that was my, like, dream, right? That did not happen, and I'm glad not that that's wrong. That's just not the best God had for my life, right? So over the course of the last 9 years, the Lord changed my heart and my desires to just be bigger, and he opened my vision to be bigger. And to see that I could have more of an impact than I just my own, like, physical kids that I have someday in the future, hopefully. But to impact hundreds and thousands of kids in my life. He changed my heart from wanting to stay living in Milwaukee and begrudgingly moving to Maryland for a job to wanting to be a missionary and to live overseas and not even really caring where I go, but just being like, yeah, send me, Lord, let's go. It's fun. And that was not a fast process. That took a long time, many years. But the more that I dug into the Lord, and I could tell, the more often I was praying and writing and, like, processing things, the faster those changes were happening, and the times where I didn't write for days and weeks and months of, like, not really going to the Lord all the time were the times when things were not going super well and when I wasn't really growing. That quiet time is important. And if you've never looked, some of you are probably not writers like I am, but I like to process. I would highly encourage you to go back through some of your Christian walk and, like, see how far the Lord has taken you. There's a reason that the Bible over and over tells us, in the Old Testament especially, like, set an altar up and, like, remind yourself of what the Lord has done. It is powerful. You will see the God working in ways and answering prayers that you forgot you prayed. It's amazing, so do that. But the Lord, as I shared last time, brought me to Thailand 4 years ago, which was amazing, and it was not quite how I expected. So before I went, the Lord had gotten me to the point where I wanted to be a missionary and I wanted to serve the Lord by being a school planter. I wanted to start schools in different countries, preferably on every inhabited continent. That was my goal. And I wanted my schools to reach thousands of kids, and I wanted to go and, especially for kids in extreme poverty, to start schools, help them meet their basic needs, and help them to come and know the Lord in a way that changes their community and just multiplies. That's what I wanted to do. And I went to Thailand, and I have taught at a school for really wealthy kids. So not at all what I was expecting God to have me do, but it was awesome. And I made a bunch of connections. And you can go to the next slide. And so I got connected to an organization called Life Song for Orphans through one of my coworkers who started working with them in Thailand and then in Cambodia. The three hearts on there are the three locations of the sites that I will be working with Life Song. One in Thailand near Bangkok, and then one in Phnom Penh, which is the capital of Cambodia, and one just south of that, in Thakao, the village. In Bangkok, we work with an organization called Construction for Hope, which my coworker started because he saw a need. And they help kids in extreme poverty who live on construction sites, because that's what you do in Thailand. If you're a construction worker, you live in a tin shack on the construction site, and when you're done with that construction site, you pack it up and you move to the next one. The parents don't have enough money to pay for their kids to go to school, so their kids stay on the construction site. Super safe. They don't get an education, and then guess what? They're going to become construction workers because that's all they know. And they're never going to get out of that. So we saw that as a need, Jason, and he works now. We work with Pastor Vino and his support team. And they started a school connected to a church for those kids, pick them up from construction sites, serve 50 to 100 kids, depending on the day, and bring them back to the construction site. Some of them live there because they're home life is super unstable. Some of them go back and forth, and so the kids come and go, and when they're in a construction site too far away, they can't come anymore. It's kind of just the way that it is for now. You can go to the next slide. There's this problem in Thailand and Cambodia, and I know you guys, it's become a big thing, talking about human trafficking. You don't really see it here. You hear about it, but it is a very big thing in Thailand and Cambodia, especially for migrant workers. But what happens is kids are often sold by their parents because their parents can't afford to take care of them. And so their parents might sell them to an orphanage thinking that it's like the right thing to do. And they're like, you're going to get taken care of. I can't take care of you. Here, go take care of them. And then the orphanage uses those kids to like get money from tourists and keeps the kids in horrible conditions and pockets the money for themselves. That's really big in Cambodia. And in Thailand, people will often say, yes, we have work for you. Come. Like, we have work for you. And then take their passport and never give it back and make them work for whatever they want to give them that day. Probably about a dollar. Equivalent to about a dollar, and say, well, you're living here, so we're going to take this much, and this month you can have enough to buy your food, if that, right? And then there's also the other aspects of it where kids run away or people get sold into sex trafficking. It's like a big thing. Kids are forced to beg on the streets, and if you don't make a certain amount, you can't come back. That's very common. Construction sites and migrant workers in Thailand. So a lot of migrant workers leave Cambodia because Cambodia has been through some bad stuff and there really aren't jobs. And they will leave and come to Thailand because Thailand is where you have a lot of resources. And the only work they can really do is construction because they don't know the language and they don't have any money to get anything started. And so they get stuck in this cycle then. There are a ton of villages with no schools in Cambodia. So very brief history. I highly recommend looking it up. It's really sad, but really powerful. 40 years ago, there was something in Cambodia called the Khmer Rouge. And they, for really stupid reasons, decided to have mass genocide and to kill anyone who had an education, who looked smart, who was like older. They destroyed schools and universities, and they decided, we're just going to go back to the Stone Ages. They cut out technology and forced everyone living in the cities to go become farmers, which is the opposite of what everyone is trying to do now. But that was, they were like, we'll have our best life if everyone is equal and everyone is farmers and it'll be great. So they killed everyone who wasn't doing that. So that was 40 years ago. For some of you, that's your in your lifetime, right? So it was your parents' lifetime, all right? It was like my dad was around, right? Thank you for the reminder. Yeah. Some of those leaders are still alive who did that and are on trial for crimes against humanity. Like, it's in that recent of a history that some of those leaders are still alive. So these people that I work with in Cambodia, their parents and their grandparents are ones that got forced out of the city and, like, survived it. But their parents remember. So most of them, their parents don't have an education because they weren't allowed to have one. Schools are being built, but there aren't a lot of teachers to do that. Teachers are all really young because the older ones didn't have an education, right? And there are a lot of villages that started as a result of this that don't have schools yet. And the government says, you have access to a school, but really it's over an hour away each way. You don't have access to a school when that's the case, right? And then there are a lot of kids, as with extreme poverty usually happens, you have unstable home environments. You get passed around from person to person. Parents have to move a lot for work. Sometimes people get really mean when they're don't have enough food to eat. And so bad things happen. Good. So LifeSong's vision, which I found out about a year and a half, 2 years ago, is to meet the basic needs of kids, provide access to a high quality education, bring the knowledge of children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and ensure that their graduates are productive members of society. All four of those things in the exact same order as to what I wanted to do before I went to Thailand and knew that LifeSong existed. So I got connected to them and I got to meet the vice president on one of my trips, and he like was laying that out and I went, sold. That's exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. And had I said no to any of the other steps in my path, because I was like, it's not exactly what I want, Lord, I would never have met up with them. And so I'm sold on this mission, and I've seen what they do, and I've been there working with them for 2 years, so like I'm all in at this point. They do amazing work. Those are some of my kids in the village in Cambodia. I started working with them by helping raise money and helping them get resources to build a learning center in their children's home so they could get to have tables and books and coloring utensils and like basic school supplies, things that we all take for granted here but that are really, really hard to get there, especially in the villages. They just don't get out that far. So I had to go the 2 hours into the city and go to a ton of different shops to find stuff and then bring it back. They loved it. Go ahead, next slide. Okay, so I'm going to show you a video. If it doesn't work, it's on a separate file. If it doesn't work, you're connecting to here. One of the kids that I got to meet and that I get to work with in the village is, his name is Samuel, and he's a middle schooler, so similar age to some of you. And this is his story. You kind of got to read this words because he's speaking in Khmer, and none of you, I think, can speak Khmer, so, you know. But it's about 1 minute just to get a feel for what they do. He's really sweet. He loves to play music. Like, he's a big musician, so we bought a box drum, and he was so excited. He learned how to play it in, like, 2 days. It was crazy. And guitar. Yeah, he's just amazing. What I really like about LifeSong is that they teach the older kids how to mentor and take care of the younger kids. They teach them how to be leaders, not just in education and in life, but also in the Word. And they teach them about what it really means to devote yourself to the Lord and to live like is described in the Acts model of being a Christian, where they share what they have. They eat all of their meals together. They worship together and live together and they work together. And they really live that out, and they, you just see joy and you see prosperity and you see it changing their community. The kids in Thailand and in Cambodia, they aren't content to sit and just stay in their little happy Christian bubble that they get. They all do outreach. The people in the ministry in Thailand, they go back to their construction sites and they do outreach and they talk to the adults and the other kids and they share about the Lord. And in Thailand, only it's 98.something% Buddhist. So they're in a very small minority, but they are excited. And they see the Lord show up. They pray for things, and then they pray for food, and God gives them food. They pray for their families, and they'll see one get saved. They pray for their school needs, and then God shows up. Like, it's very daily life. The kids in they go to the other villages every weekend. They spend Saturdays and Sundays. They go to the villages and they have these little like workshops and they teach the kids and they do worship and dances and share Bible stories and they teach them because they know what an impact it had on their life and they want to do it. It's no one's forcing them to do it. They enjoy it and they love sharing the word. You can go to the next slide. So these are some of my kids and what we're doing now. If you notice on the top left, you're like, those kids don't look Thai. They're not. those are some of my kids from my youth group and from the school that I used to work at. They connect with LifeSong, and they are helping find ways to connect and to grow the program, doing community service regularly. So that's a fun connection that I love. The kids on the far right. Those are new kids that have been added the last 2 weeks that are from a new construction site that we got to connect with. So we're just continuing to grow and flourish. We have gardens, which is what he's doing. He has a mushroom garden with all the weird plasticky circles. That's a mushroom garden, so they can grow mushrooms and then sell the extra that they don't use. And they learn and they play and they really just enjoy it. Next slide. They have baking classes, so they learn practical skills as well. They learn how to sell them, how to market, and how to do all of those things. So they're not stuck with what their parents have, but they have options with life skills. The kids in Cambodia go to a proper school, so they have access to university through our program. We make sure they have the ability to pass the tests, and we help them pay for university and have a support system for them so that they can go even beyond. In Cambodia or in Thailand, we don't have access to that yet, but we're working towards it. But we do have a nice, more formal school system now, and we're building that as well. And like in the top, our older kids help teach the younger kids. They have specialties. Like he's teaching them the Khmer language, which is Cambodian, how to read and write. So when they go back to Cambodia, they have the skills they need to be successful. Because a lot of them will go back to Cambodia when they become adults, just because that's where they're from and that's where most of their family is. Go ahead. Best part is that we don't just change their lives through education, but through the gospel. This past month, these are two of our, I think, five kids that chose to become Christians at our site in Thailand. And so it doesn't take that long, but they do make the decision to say no to what their parents teach them and just accept the love of Christ. And it changes who they are. So these are two of them. They're really cute. Yeah. Next slide. So in the future, we want to help develop official school in Thailand, make it formal so the kids have access to university if they want it, so they can pass those tests. We want to develop the college program and help that grow. Right now we have five who are in that program, and it's growing as our kids grow up and go. Develop sustainable business practice with the kids to teach them that, with the skills they're learning, especially with our Thailand kids who might not have access to university right now. Develop effective curriculum and help them both become official NGOs in Thailand and Cambodia, because right now they're not official yet, right?
Don't speak three character acronym, NGO,
NGO, non-government organization. There are lots of benefits to being an NGO, like especially most importantly for us, is people can give and get tax breaks on that, and so then the people in Thailand are more willing to give if they can get tax breaks for that, and so it's easier to network with people. You're also protected from certain things for the government, and in both countries they have a very corrupt government, so it's something we want to try to help protect us from some of those things that can change with people's moods. Next slide. So for me, what that means, as I go out, I'm going to go and be basically the administrator of all three sites, which is a lot, but super fun. And so what that means for me is that I need to raise $26,000 to live there and to be able to go back and forth between Thailand and Cambodia, to take language school, to do my ministry, just life things. And so what I'm going to ask that you pray about is how you can be a part of helping me meet that. If you want to go to the next slide. The Lord challenges us to do hard things and to do uncomfortable things. So I've learned I have to be okay with making people uncomfortable, and you have to learn with being okay with being uncomfortable, because the Lord challenges us to do hard things. So when we have our monthly love, whatever it is called now. Well, apparently we can't think of a name. Our love feast, I'm just going to call it that because I'm old school. I'm going to come and talk to all of you guys, and I'm going to ask you if you've prayed about this and what you think the Lord's asking, and I'm going to give you my prayer card and some how to give information. I'm going to pray about it before you see me come talking to you, but I will come talk to you, I will find you, and I'm going to make you a little uncomfortable, and that's okay, we just all have to be okay with being uncomfortable. Can we all just be okay with being uncomfortable for today? Great. pray about it. I'm asking for monthly support because that's just how we sustain missions, is not necessarily through one-time gifts, which are awesome, love those, but monthly support is just consistent. And there's that lovely verse in the Bible that talks about where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And a monthly gift helps remind you guys to pray for me and for our mission, which is ultimately way more important than the gifts that you give. Money is important, and you need it to live. I can't buy food without it. But prayers are even better. And so monthly giving helps remind you when that comes out of your paycheck, reminds you to give just like you monthly give to the church, I hope. If you're not, do that first. It reminds you to pray for your church, but that it reminds you to pray for us and what we're doing and trying to change the world a couple hundred kids at a time, right? I'm going to pray for us, and then I guess, what, dismiss us for, no? Then pass it over. Cool. Yep. All right. Father God, I thank you for your gifts. I thank you for the ability to just talk and to share about some of the amazing things you're doing. And I thank you that you're just continuing to grow here in Oconomowoc, but around the world and in Thailand and Cambodia. Lord, I ask that you would just remind us about your blessings and remind us of how much you love us and of all of the good things that you've done for us, Lord. And I ask that you would just speak to us and continue to challenge us to grow and develop our faith in you so that we can be passionate about going out and changing the world for you. In Jesus' name.